Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Steve Vaughn, also in studio. A couple of homeschooling dads interacting on the issues of the day from a distinctively biblical perspective. And the lesson that I want to draw from this morning's broadcast will be ideas have consequences. Worldviews bear out consequences. Things just don't happen. Statistics don't just appear on the scene. People act according to the things they believe. People act out the ideas that they hold to. Worldviews matter. And the question of worldview is something that we need to analyze. And we always bring the Word of God to bear because the Word of God renews our mind and brings us to a metanoel or a repentance concerning the things we thought wrongly about. And so it turns out there are statistics in the modern world that indicate things are going in the wrong direction. But why? Here's a connection that appeared to me as I was preparing a newscast just a couple of days ago, Steve. Switzerland's National Council just voted to criminalize transphobia and homophobia, which I guess is the fear of homosexuality. So that's against the law now in Switzerland. Nothing about theophobia, thankfully, so you can still fear God. It's just you don't shouldn't be fearing homosexuals.
So how do they know if you are homophobic or...
Well, apparently there's a 3-year prison sentence to those who might say something perceived as hateful concerning transgenderism or the sin of homosexuality.
So just if somebody perceives that you...
Yeah, and okay. It's also not so much a phobia, but it's also any kind of a dislike, apparently, for the sin of homosexuality. At least if it's expressed, might end up with a 3-year prison sentence.
So are you afraid of homosexuals?
No, not at all.
So you can go to Switzerland.
I love homosexuals.
Yeah.
And I would love to share the gospel with anybody bound in sin. And that's, of course, all of us by nature. All of us need that deliverance that only Jesus can bring to us. We
Amen.
Are born bound in sin. And Jesus said in John 8, if the Son will set you free, you will
be free indeed.
And I love that text. I just want to share that with everybody because all of us are bound in sin and sinful inclinations, just the way we are. But apparently Switzerland is outlawing this kind of thing. And so if you want to share the gospel in Switzerland, or if you want to express opinions that might oppose the lifestyle of homosexuality, you're up for 3 years in prison. I'm not sure what the prison sentence is for speaking out against bestiality, incest, or pedophilia. Maybe a year or two.
Yeah, what about microaggressions? Maybe, you know, 30 days, six months.
30 days, 6 months.
Yeah.
But I'm sure somebody's working on the legislation on these things. And so as I came across this news story about Switzerland's National Council voting to criminalize transphobia and homophobia, also came upon Trading Economics that does a report on household debt to GDP ratios around the world. It turns out the worst nation in the world based on household debt to GDP is Switzerland.
Yeah.
Wow. Switzerland, yeah. So
no wonder everything's so expensive.
Ideas have consequences, and the sorts of lifestyles, the sorts of immorality that is incorporated into the lifestyle of a nation is going to yield other sorts of fruit in other areas. And as we begin to see the social breakdown of a nation, it's not unusual to see something of an economic breakdown. The social breakdown yields an economic breakdown. It's a socioeconomic breakdown that occurs at the same time. As people are living lifestyles such that they care less for the future. That is, they're not interested in future posterity. They're not having children. In fact, the majority of the top leaders in Europe today are childless, and we've done programs on this before. But those who have no real interest in the future, those who live the existentialistic, myopic lifestyle in which they're concerned with themselves in the immediate future, but are not looking towards the posterity of their children and grandchildren, as in the case of those who adopt the homosexual mindset, will oftentimes have no problem spending their grandchildren and great-grandchildren into debt and dragging into their lifestyles these tremendously high household debt-to-GDP ratios. So that's where these nations are today, Switzerland having the highest household debt-to-GDP ratio in the world per Trading Economics, and also being a nation that is criminalizing transphobia and homophobia, and just on the cusp of of approving homosexual marriage. Turns out there's just two nations left, Northern Ireland and Switzerland, and possibly also Italy, that have not yet approved homosexual marriage. But the other 96-97% of the landmass of Europe and North America, of course, have adopted that policy. It turns out the worst nation in the world based on household debt to GDP ratio is Switzerland. The next 10 worst nations turn out to be Australia, Denmark, Netherlands, Norway, Canada, South Korea, New Zealand, Sweden, United Kingdom, and the United States. These are the nations, of course, that carry the most debt. They're also generally post-Christian, Western influence, socialist, and pro-homosexual. So put a note on the fridge. Keep track of the nations that will topple first in the next great worldwide depression, my friends. It will be Sweden. It will be Norway. It will be Australia. It will be Netherlands. It will be Canada. It will be United States. It will be United Kingdom. Put the note in the fridge. Make a note of the nations that will topple first in the next great worldwide depression. They're also the nations legalizing drugs, legalizing homosexuality, and generally cultivating the dry rot that has destroyed civilizations. These are also softy, wafty socialist nations. You noticed I mentioned Sweden, Norway. Time magazine just did a major article on Sweden in which they were very, very happy. They were pretty gaga over Sweden. And the fact that Sweden mandates 400 days of maternity leave for dads.
For dads?
For dads, that's right. So that dads can play Mr. Mom and moms can go to work.
Shouldn't that be fraternity leave?
Or paternity leave?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, yeah, it turns out Sweden provides at least 400 days of mandated maternity leave for dads so that dads can play Mr. Mom and moms can go to work in a totally socialist, feminized nation. So that's where Sweden is. These nations indeed are going down, my friends. They're breaking up. Socially, the ratio of children born out of wedlock extremely high. In Sweden, it's upward of 65-70%. These are the nations in which marriage is destroyed. These are the nations that have approved the most perverse forms of sexuality. These are the nations with the highest household debt to GDP ratios. These are the nations that are legalizing drugs. These are the nations that are cultivating the dry rot that will destroy their civilizations. And it reminds me a bit of Deuteronomy 28, verse 20, where the Lord is warning Israel that if they so depart from the principles of God's word, that God will bring a cursing upon them, a confusion and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do. Until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. Of course, they assume that whatever they're doing is the very, very best for their socioeconomic system. The more debt, the more they destroy the family unit, the more they erode traditional marriage, the better things will be. That's what they're assuming. But the Lord will strike you with this madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. The alien who's among you shall rise higher and above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, you shall be the tail. And if that does not describe the Western nations that are right now self-imploding, I don't know what would.
Yeah, all we like lemmings are going over the cliff.
I think that's pretty much it, yes, for the Western nations. Be back with more in just a moment. We're going to talk about these nations now. Legalizing drugs. That's the latest amongst these Western nations that have lost their way. Be back in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, Steve Vaughn, also in the studio, as we discuss the legalization of drugs, or the deregulation of drugs, which has happened in America. Apparently 9 states now has legalized marijuana, including Colorado, and 31 states have legalized medical marijuana thus far. That's over half the states. And 7 or 8 or 9 of the major nations around the world have legalized drugs. I believe that includes Portugal, and Netherlands, and of course a few others. So it's interesting. World Magazine has done a series of articles on this. World Magazine being the preeminent Christian news magazine that's out there these days, and they have dedicated, I'm going to say, 50 pages to the discussion concerning the legalization of marijuana, because it's coming. In fact, Utah is looking at legalizing marijuana, and the Mormon Church has just approved of the legalization of medical marijuana in the state. Believe it or not, they took a side on the issue, and they have taken the side of approving of the legalization of medical marijuana for the state of Utah. And
wow.
I guess that would make the 32nd state that has legalized marijuana thus far in the United States. So this is a worldwide trend. It's happening everywhere, especially here in the United States. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been working on a biographical account of David Wilkerson's life, the fellow who wrote The Cross and the Switchblade. He approached the street gangs in New York City in the 1950s, as you recall, and saw some amazing conversions. It's a tremendous story of a man of God who was a tremendous evangelist in the 1960s and 1970s. Loved David Wilkerson. Just passed away, I think, in 2011. And so I've been working on a biography of his life, and he was very concerned, of course, of the rise of illegal drugs and drug addiction, which was beginning to take over some of the streets in New York City in 1957. And his concern was about 0.4% of New York City was on drugs in 1957, 0.4% of New York City was on drugs in 1957. So that was a concern that amounted to tens of thousands of people. Well, you compare that to where we are today, and there's just no comparison at all. 10% of Americans, not just in New York City, 10% of Americans around the United States. We're talking about 10% of Colorado Springs, 10% of Wichita, Kansas, 10% of Peoria, Illinois, 10% of America. We're not just talking about 0.4% of New York City, which is his concern. He had a huge heart to spread the good news of Jesus Christ around the world, especially to those who were addicted to drugs and were in some of the worst possible conditions that humans can ever find themselves in. Well, the problem is now, I'm going to say 50 times worse than it was in the 1950s, 1960s when David Wilkerson got the Teen Challenge program going. And so, my friends, we are in far worse shape today than we were in the 1960s. We are in far worse shape today than we were in the 1960s. And sadly, there is no revival, as far as I know, happening across America as there was in the 1960s and 1970s, where there were tens of thousands of these young people that would gather for the preaching of the word, not just for concerts, but for the preaching of the word of God through evangelists like David Wilkerson. That was what was so exciting. There was something of a spiritual renewal, a spiritual revival that was going on with the preaching of men like David Wilkerson, Chuck Smith, and others. And these young people were serious about hearing the word of God. Yes, there was some music here and there, but that was not the driving force. That was not the reason why these young people were coming together. The Jesus movement yielded a tremendous movement back towards Christ and a repentant spirit here and there across the country, something we're not seeing in our day. So sadly, we are in the worst condition ever in the history of this country, no question about it, and we are in desperate need of revival, my friends. Now, that was not exactly what I was going to say for this broadcast, but that happened to slip out, because we need to be in our prayer groups, Steve, crying out to God for revival. We're doing a prayer meeting tonight in the church, and I'm going to bring this thing out one more time, that we need to be crying out for the souls of men and women. And thankfully, it was men like David Wilkerson who had that angst, that agony. He called it an agony for the souls of men. And he gained a vision for the souls of men, and he grappled for the souls of men. He fought for the souls of men. He cried out for the souls of men. He preached to the souls of men, and God blessed his ministry. Now, may God raise up 100 David Wilkersons in our generation, because we're going to need them. If 10% of America is on illegal drugs at this point, by the way, 49% of teens use marijuana. It's about half.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Half of teens are using marijuana.
That's amazing.
27% use it monthly, and I would say that's close to an addiction. And of college kids, 40% use pot regularly. 27% of teens use pot regularly. 40% of college kids use pot regularly. And friends, we come back to this question, why? See, this is one point that I would love to see World Magazine engage with, and that is the ideas behind the behavior. Ideas have consequences. People do things because they believe things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was A.W. Tozer that spoke about that the most important thing about us is what our view of God is, what we think about God. It basically informs every decision that we make. If we don't believe that there is any God out there, then the question is, why be moral? If we think God is just somebody who wound everything up and is watching us, we will act in a certain way. If we believe that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, you know, everywhere present, and we believe in the God of the Bible, we're going to act a certain way as well.
Exactly, because everybody acts out their belief system. Everybody acts according to how they think. So the question is, for every single person listening to this broadcast right now, what is your mindset? What are you thinking? And modern man is increasingly escaping reality, really escaping relationship and escaping God. He's running from God. That's really what's happening here, Steve, is that people are running away from God, and it's not just drugs. You know, there's the electronic escape, too. I think that's the biggest escape.
Yeah. That affects fantasy movies.
Yes. Yeah, affects some 95%. I was sitting next to two young men on a flight out to Missouri this last week, and both were plugged into the electronic universe, and I couldn't get a word in edgewise with these men. You know, I like to, you know, engage the conversation, bring the gospel in if I can. But the younger people, for the most part, are plugged into the electronic universe. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. They're escaped. They are disconnected from reality. They're disconnected from other people. The modern man is increasingly the vagabond. He's running away from God. He's running away from God's reality, and he's becoming profoundly pessimistic. He's more self-conscious than ever about his own helplessness and hopelessness. And we need to bring hope to this world, Steve. I just said this morning to somebody in an airport as I was traveling out of Missouri. I said, Christ is risen, and I'm in a good mood. That's what I told her. And I think we need to remind people that Christ is risen from the dead. What better news can we share with anybody?
Yeah.
Is there better news than that?
No. We need to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us. That's my logo speech and debate club's verse on all my shirts.
And here's a reason for the hope that is within us.
Christ
Jesus
is risen
from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Death fixed.
Yes.
Death fixed. Forever.
We should all be in a good mood.
Hallelujah. Can I hear a hallelujah from somebody listening to the program right now? I wish I could get a little bit better audience response, Steve. That's what makes radio tough business. Christians need to get louder on this. We need to get loud. We need to get loud. We need to get loud. Death is conquered. The curse of sin is removed, and it's time to stop running away from the problem and stop running away from the solution. We stop running away from the problem. We stop running away from the solution, which is God and his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who came to solve the problem of the curse of sin, the condemnation of sin, and the condemnation of death that hung over us, such that now we don't need to fear death. What is there left to fear?
Yeah, nothing. We, above all people, should be the ones who have the most hope. People should see it in us and want to ask us, why in the world do you have hope? And we can give them an answer.
See, this is the discussion. This is why people are moving into drugs by the droves, my friends. They're going into drugs because they have no hope. because they have given up on reality, because they want to escape reality, because they want a slow death. They want to move away from the consciousness of God, the consciousness of their sin, the consciousness of the solution, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to unplug from the escape world, friends. We're calling people to repentance. Unplug from the escape world. Unplug from the electronic universe. Stop running away into electronic drugs and real drugs and run to Christ, the only Savior, the only solution to all of your problems. You know, addiction is an escape, but it's also an idolatry. And I think we need to remind people that they're seeking these idols. They're trying to find the fetish to which they attach themselves emotionally and physically. But it's an idol. It's a pseudo-god. It's a pseudo-savior. It promises to save. Food, alcohol, drugs. They promise to save, but they don't. Also, as far as the consuming of these drugs, you know, Proverbs chapter 30 tells us that there's strong drink for the dying. So there's appropriateness to use painkillers for those who are in the death spiral. Doctors talked about those who are in the death spiral.
Yes.
That once you're on the exit ramp, doctors can often identify that. And they can see that this person is on the death spiral. And the Word of God provides for that. There is strong drink for the dying. The problem is that many Americans put themselves on the death spiral way earlier than they should.
Using strong drink.
And meaning that they're committing suicide.
Yeah.
They've given up on life. And that's not everybody, but, you know, since 1991, the opiate prescriptions have increased from 76 million up to 259 million. That's an increase of 350% during a time in which the population increased at 25%.
Wow. That's amazing.
Meaning that the numbers of people, I'm not talking about legal drugs now, we're the 10% of Americans on illegal drugs, but there's another 10, 20, 30% that are finding their way into the legalized drugs, and they're seeking as many prescriptions as they can possibly get their hands on. And what we're finding is these are Band-Aids for a nation's psychological pain. Well, the economic impact of half the nation on drugs is yet to be assessed. Obviously, America's in trouble. We're in how much debt? I lost track.
$180 trillion.
Yeah, I mean, our debt-to-GDP ratio has increased threefold since the early 2000s, and it's doubled since 2007 before the last major recession. And the worker-retiree ratio in America is now one-third of what it was in 1950. The Social Security Fund went into the red for the first time in 2011, and so, hey, it turns out the workers are going to have to work three times harder. Wait a minute, where are they? Where are all the workers? They're supposed to be working three times harder to pay for this increased Social Security problem.
They're all on welfare.
They're all on welfare, and they're on drugs. So if half of the workers are on drugs, the other half playing video games while Rome burns, this isn't going to bode well for the economic well-being of the nation, my friends. Are you with me here, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
The character of the nation is in free fall. While we have spent our great-grandkids into debt, and the Social Security Fund went into the red for the first time in 2011. And the baby boomers started retiring for the first time in 2011 as well. So,
yeah.
No, we're headed for a kaboom the way things are headed.
Yeah, perfect storm.
So is the answer to outlaw drugs, to ban drugs? Well, the war on drugs has been a $1 trillion disaster. The war on drugs has been a fiasco. So I don't think that's the solution, Steve. But here's people have asked me, are you in favor of deregulating drugs? And my answer is this. Technically, by God's law, drugs should be somewhat deregulated. I believe this. But we can only do this when we put in place other elements of God's law that could sustain a social order. But to just deregulate drugs without any social order in place, without any laws in place that could retain something of a social order, I think is just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, you've got to implement personal responsibility. That's one of the things that we so lack.
That's right.
That if people were responsible for their actions and not the people who are committing the crimes being the victims, but the people committing the crimes having to take responsibility, you could deregulate most drugs and people would then have to pay for the consequences. And once that starts happening, drug problems gone?
As in, don't deregulate drugs until you take away welfare.
Right.
You know, take away welfare first.
Yeah.
If you're going to deregulate drugs, deal with the welfare issue.
Yeah. Did you know there are, in the United States today, 72, at least 72 means-tested benefits programs for Americans? And so there's 72 different ways. And that's not counting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. This is means-tested things, because Social Security is not even means-tested. You just get it by age. And so we have this huge benefits package for Americans that we really don't need. That was never what the government was for.
My recommendation is to bring biblical law to bear, stop redistributing the wealth, eliminate welfare if you're going to deregulate drugs, and certainly put in place some decent gross negligence laws, as in if somebody backs over an innocent person in a parking lot while under the influence of drugs, he should pay the price, which by biblical law is capital punishment. So the civil magistrate should think clearly on these things. You don't just create chaos in your society by deregulating drugs while not incorporating any other element of biblical law that could provide some tiny, tiny little bit of social order for your society. So is the answer to outlaw drugs? No, the answer is not to outlaw drugs. As long as the worldview of the nation is moving towards national suicide. The answer is not education. Just educating these kids on how drugs decreases your life expectancy is not going to help. Because that's the whole point of taking drugs, to decrease your life expectancy. They don't like life. They're escaping life. They're embracing death. That's why they're taking drugs. So education is not going to help. Okay? It's a worldview.
Here's how to do it.
It's a worldview problem. Yeah. It's a worldview problem.
Wow.
The answer is not education. The answer is not politics. The answer is not banning drugs. You say, well, what is the answer?
Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Checkmate.
Yes.
That's it. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel preached and the reviving work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friends, it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God by the gospel of Jesus Christ preached or bust. Or bust. What we need is a change of heart, an abandonment of the worldview of hopeless materialism and nihilism and humanism, and a turning away from the popular music and the Hollywood movies that constantly reemphasize this hopeless, meaningless, materialistic worldview that has got these kids sucked into this vacuum. No, there's got to be a worldview shift. There's got to be a repentance. There's got to be young people by the million stepping forward and saying, I've been thinking wrongly about everything. I've been running away from God. I've not been worshiping God. I've been worshiping myself. Now save me, O God, by the death of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on that cross for me. Save me. Save me. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when young people reach out to God for salvation, friends, that is the beginning of a whole new life in Christ. And that, as far as I can tell, Steve, is the only solution for this modern world that has been sucked into the wrong worldview.
The reason for the hope that is in you. Right there.
There it is. Well, we wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. I encourage you to our Bible study guides through the Psalms and the Proverbs. Be sure that you're discipling your own children as you sit in the house, as you're walking by the way, as you're rising up. Give them the right worldview. Disciple them as Jesus' disciples in the books of the Bible, the books of Proverbs, Psalms, Matthew, and the book of Genesis. We offer these Bible study guides as very basic introductions to the Christian faith for your family and for those who are listening to this program. If you would like access to these Bible study guides, just simply go to generations.org and you can purchase them there. If you can't afford it, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com and we'd love to send a sample to you. That's host@kevinswanson.com to get in touch with me, Kevin Swanson. And I invite you back again next time as we will continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.